ready.
BWO.
BWO. Huh. BWO. Brothers with opinions, now we spreading the word. In this world, things get hard because we've been blinded by ignorance, man. Fed DM known to progress, it's a hindrance. Silence is consent, so let your voices be heard. Man, we brothers with opinions, now we spreading the word. Bringing light to the dark, revolution is an art. Man, a lot of people talk, but they ain't never walked apart. Gotta shine a light on poverty and fight against injustice. And always speak the truth when the enemies amongst us.
All right, everybody, we're back here again. You know, BWO, Brothers with Opinions, and here with Chris Tucker and Zeb Weaver. So today we have Carlos Davenport and
Sean Simmons.
Sean Simmons. Sorry again, I've asked him about three or four times. And you guys are with the semi-pro new organization here in, I think you established Front Royal, right?
Yeah. So when I had originally made it, we had based ourselves out of Front Royal. And that is kind of like our end goal where we plan to be, just because the field that I had in mind is there. We had to move to Winchester recently because Jim Barnett Field was just like a more affordable, easy to get field at that time. But it was kind of like a blessing coming out here because I was able to meet people like Carlos and his family. And, you know, like the Davenport's obviously pretty big in football, and they got me probably about double the roster that I had the previous seasons. But I don't know. It's kind of – I don't like picking one town or the other. I like to just say like, it's kind of the team of the Shenandoah Valley at this point. But I guess Front Royal will probably be like our official town if we had to say one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the plans for the field, like another – you know, in Front Royal?
So the Warren County Health Department building, it used to be Warren County Middle School. It's not like the most extravagant field, but it's a step up from what we have now. We are going from a field that doesn't have any kind of boundaries, barriers. People just show up, walk up to the sideline, tell coaches what plays to pick, you know, typical like little league type stuff that should not be in an adult environment. So by going to this newer, or not newer, but by going to this other field, we get the ability to like charge admission. We can actually have like a legitimate setup where there is, like fencing, an actual like area for spectators to sit. We've got like a whole, like a watchtower. I'm not sure what you would really call it. The deal where like you can have the announcer and people recording up top. And, we've got like the speaker system, lights, scoreboard that we haven't had before. We complained this whole like last year with having to write down on notebook paper what the score is as we go and ask the ref every time, hey ref, how much time we got left? And you know, we're watching for the guy in the back that's doing the play clock and waiting for him to start throwing his hands up doing his count because we can't find an actual time clock. So all in all, it should just be a really big improvement. You know, it's not like we're the only team that has that problem. A lot of semi-pro teams are very low budget. So it's the same deal everywhere, but like getting to be able to get to this part, I think we'll start to separate us from the rest of the league and start to put us in a top tier, more official, you know, terms of being a team and, you know, just make us that much better of a team.
So yeah, baby steps being new, yeah. Right?
The growing pains.
And so do you get a lot of pushback from people?
I would
say another question, because I know starting stuff, you know, people were like, oh man, what, you know, we don't want this around here, you know.
Which has been nice, because I mean obviously like Sean handles the field assignment and how we go about that. I don't know if we get a little bit of pushback in terms of, you know, scheduling, because we were pretty much like last priority, you know,
when it came yeah
up. But
yeah, we had to compete with little leagues and we had to compete with schools in the fall season. So, like Carlos said, we were a bottom of the food chain trying to get help. Or it wasn't like they didn't want us there. It was just like, we'll help you if there's help left. We got to get these guys first. If there's anything left, you guys got it. And that did make it a struggle. I mean, there's obviously like always teams that try to come up in the area, and we have had like pushback of other people trying to say that like this was a team that shouldn't have existed and other people tried to accomplish the same thing that they didn't. And so because I did, I was the one that, you know, kind of, I guess, quote unquote, took their idea. But
well, at the same always
time, I feel like it's kind of, you're going to get that anywhere. You get any kind of accomplishment, someone's going to say like, hey, that was my idea, which I mean, I know we're kind of talking about outside, but not like saying that yours wasn't that aspect, but You know, just I feel like anybody's going to have some kind of pushback. It's that guy succeeded and I didn't, so I'm going
to. Well, always you got your haters, but the thing is, you know, you took it and you're successful. Basically, other ones
execution are execution is rewarded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people just sit on their couch and they say, "Oh, it was my idea." But what did you really do? Did you go out and basically give 100% to try to do it?
Exactly. Yeah, we're the only team that actually existed in the Shenandoah Valley since the Virginia Chargers that were disbanded a few years ago. But we're the only ones that have actually had a game in the Shenandoah Valley in the last few years. No other semi-pro team has been able to host a game in Front Royal or Winchester since then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that we have like a monopoly on it at this point, but I do like to say like we are the team of the Shenandoah Valley. We want to represent everybody we can in this area and kind of just like, you know, put us back on the map. The Chargers used to be a great team. They used to win championships all the time. They were the kinds where they were playing twice a year like we do, spring and fall. And, you know, like I went to school with guys that have got multiple rings through them. And I just wanted to bring that culture back to it because Winchester's got a lot of ballers. Like we've got a lot of talent from Winchester to Front Royal.
Just shoot the
And we even branch out. I've had players come join us from do you remember where in Pennsylvania John is? Just up 81. What is it?
Waynesboro.
Mm-hmm. We've got players from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania coming down to us straight on 81. We've got guys from like
Virginia.
Like Warrenton area. So like we do kind of hold that whole northwestern part of Virginia kind of like a, you know, that's our territory at this point. But it's just it's exciting to watch it grow. It kind of went from being the small town team to like the Front Royal team to the Front Royal Winchester team, and we're just getting further and further out. And I don't know, I'm excited to see where it ends up.
Yeah, I mean, that is exciting and it's great. So, of course, it gives those guys, I guess, you know, do they actually get looked at is another question. So if they really stand out, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Obviously, we don't have like NFL scouts at these games, but a lot of these like leagues are recognized by like European leagues. I can't remember the exact acronym for it, but there is a European league where it's like
they were looking for a receiver last season.
Yeah, the Nuremberg Dragons, I think it was. But yeah, there's a lot of teams out in like Germany, Poland, Italy, things like that, and they do import probably about like maybe a couple dozen players from America each year. They don't all have the same school systems over there, so they don't get to play American football until they're an adult. So it's kind of one of those deals. They know that they have to reach out to other countries where America will reach out to America, where American football is more of a, you know, lifelong sport. So a lot of these guys do get chances to go play professionally. It's not like an extravagant lifestyle. They're not making millions, but they get to make a legitimate living playing the sport they love.
A kid's game and making a living off of it.
We even had a guy. Ed, I mean, dude was
outstanding player.
I mean, character on and off the field. The guy is who you want on the football team. Now, unfortunately, to our extent, I mean, he's getting looked at by other teams right now. I think it's like the developmental.
He spent a few days doing that Team America or Team USA where they have like that national championship of semi-pro deal. They pick out like the best semi-pro players, create like a super team. And have them play, I guess, like the other country's super teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still all at semi-pro level, of course. But that's like that one last barrier that he would have to be able to get a pro. He's actually even, I think he, what's the new football league that just came out?
XFL.
Yeah, he was going to tryouts for that, and we've had people in this league get drafted in the XFL by the new Washington team, not from our team, but from this league. There's been
The league itself.
Yeah. Like, just by being in this league, we do give our players a chance to be able to get that exposure and be able to possibly make it to leagues like the XFL or the European Football League. So yeah, it can definitely help a lot of people. We just got to be able to get the people out to us to get them that film and get them that exposure.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's great. You know, you guys are doing this because, like I say, I couldn't think of the team. You know, the Chargers. I mean, they were
I mean, years. I mean, how long were they around? I don't know what happened to it, how they folded or
whatever. What I was told was they didn't really have any other issues other than the owner and his wife had medical issues. And then it just became a deal where they had to take care of their own before they were able to, you know, keep forking out money. Because, you know, as yourself, somebody that's run multiple sports teams, it's not something that you can do for free. It does take a lot of personal stake.
I have two questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
One, what areas or teams do you guys compete against? Like on the regular, or is it just random other pro teams that you guys play?
So the league that we were just in was the Atlantic Coast Football Association. They had eight teams that ranged from Wilmington, Delaware to Richmond, I think was the furthest south. From Delaware to Richmond was the range that we went from there. We had teams in Baltimore, Upper Marlboro, Maryland. There was the Hanover Rhinos in Pennsylvania last spring. It's fairly within like the same Atlantic Coast region, I guess. But
yeah, I was gonna say, but that's still a good area, you know, yeah, from Delaware to Richmond.
For sure. Yeah. The furthest we've ever had to travel was like 4 hours, but nothing further than that.
And you said you have, I know, primarily Winchester and Front Royal, but like Shenandoah Valley. So I'm big on the Shenandoah Valley, being from down that area. But the Shenandoah Valley is so much bigger than people might know. Like, it goes all the way down to like Roanoke and shit. And like you said, all the way up to parts of Pennsylvania. Like, Shenandoah Valley is huge.
Yeah.
So you guys get kids from like Waynesboro, Virginia, Stanton, Harrisonburg, any of those areas, or not really yet?
I have had two players from Harrisonburg. I actually just ran into one last night. I was down in Harrisonburg going to one of the bars, but that's a story for another time. I've had players from Harrisonburg for sure. The ones from Waynesboro aren't as plentiful. I think we've only had the one. Javon, I think, was the only one that came down from there. It does actually like reach out to more people than that. Like, we have had people that drive past other teams to come to us just because, like, you know, they're starting to appreciate like our values on stuff. Our quarterback last season was right down the street from a team called the Northern Virginia Rampage and was driving past their field to come play for us every day.
Well, that says a lot about what you and Carlos are doing and, you know, the organization.
Yeah, man, I'm just, you know, I love football. I didn't have a chance to do anything with it after high school. I wasn't quite at that level to do any kind of like college or pro stuff. And I had to find a way to get back into it.
I could have
played. What high school was this?
Just want to put that out there.
Carlos is like, I could have played. Well, you actually do play, right? For the team?
I actually went to rugby. That's where I went.
Okay.
I went and played rugby for Ward Fairfax.
Well, he did suit up last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm asking. You actually did play, right?
Yeah, and I will say, it is extremely hard to coach and play. So I ended up pretty much just becoming a glorified player on the field.
So you just you're playing for right now?
I ended up, well, now I'm back into the coaching role.
Yeah, okay. We've recruited enough. You know, Carlos and his family have been such a heavy presence with like the Hanley community. We've gotten a bunch of their players to where like he doesn't even have to worry about suiting up at this point.
Chris Malott at quarterback.
Who is it?
Chris Malott.
Oh, Chris Malott. Is
our QB one right now? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. I mean, the boy can throw.
Yeah. Him and I'm probably gonna say his name wrong. Josh Mihill or Mihill or something along those lines. From Millbrook.
Yeah, he played from Millbrook.
Those two kids just came out, and they are a sick, nasty connection. They've got this corner route that they can't stop. You know, corner route's probably like one of the hardest throws to make, they just have perfected it.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to Charlottesville recently, and it wasn't like a legitimate like 11-on-11 scrimmage. It was a padded 7-on-7. You know, people don't show up to scrimmages a lot, so we do what we can. But going against a team that like has been a pretty prominent presence. Like, we were, I want to say it was like 35-21 when we finished. With us in the lead, we showed up with like 10 people for a 7-on-7 against a squad that had 50 and kept the pressure. They could not find an answer.
Really?
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
There was another question.
Oh yeah, somebody did ask something, and I think we kind of left them in the.
Did you ask another question, Chris?
Yeah, what high school did these two gentlemen go to? I just always like to know. That's cool.
Oh, the ones that we're just referring to, the quarterback was at Hanley and the receiver was at Millbrook. And I think they both just graduated 2020. Yeah.
So they're young guys then. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's really where we're getting a lot of our players now. A lot of the guys that graduated 2020 didn't get a chance to play a full season because of COVID. A lot of these guys came out their senior year, played one game, and that was it. They missed out on chances to be able to get scholarships because they had no film. Yeah. So this league is their chance to be able to get film. With the what's it called, the NIL deals being okay now, semi-pro no longer has any effect on eligibility. Granted, they don't get paid anyway, so playing for us wouldn't matter.
But, why not? That's messed up. No,
yeah, no. Unfortunately, semi-pro is a pay-to-play. If I could have,
I'd do that.
If I had the Jerry Jones money, I would love to be able to get these guys a little bit of cash in their pocket, but maybe one day.
Well, I think some of the bigger ones do get paid.
There are leagues. They basically have it broken down like 3A, 2A, and I'm not sure if there's a single A anymore or not, but like the 3A guys are the ones that are making a little bit of money. I think a lot of those guys kind of get like a game by game basis. They get like 100 to 500 bucks a game or something like that. I think like the highest paying, but I've looked it up a little bit. There was like a league in Texas, I think, where some of the players make like 40, 50K a year, which they might as well grow at that point.
Wow.
To me, that's enough to make a living where I don't think I'd put the word semi in it, but.
Yeah, right. I mean, 50K, I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, some could probably live off of that, just playing.
You by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. Right. That's a year's salary.
As far as being like the developmental thing, that's what I love about semi-pro, man. We got a lot of guys that play for us that, they didn't make the best life choices, and to disqualify them from a lot of opportunities. Now they get another chance to play.
Yeah, it's kind of like what is it? Second chance you or what?
Yeah. Essentially.
For a lot of guys.
Because, football doesn't really have like a developmental league like every other sport does. Like there's the minor leagues for baseball. There's like the G League or the D League or whatever it was for basketball. But like football, like after college, they don't really have any other chance to showcase their talent.
Yeah. It's so true, because what they always say, like after high school, a lot of people would never put them pads back on, ever. After your senior ever, that's the one sport, they always say like basketball, cause softball, whatever, you can play that almost the rest of your life almost.
Think about the dedication it takes you all 4 years, say you're not, coming in at 6'4", 300 pounds, but and you're dedicating yourself to your craft and you're working really hard, and then you graduate and it's like, all right, that was, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
You
lose your way in life.
So I think it does leave a void in your life. And you've seen we've had a lot of kids this off season. Right now we're just doing OTAs and we have more people showing up to our OTAs than practice last season.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's just a whole different level where we've recruited really well, I think, and I think we still got some room to grow in that part. I mean, I'd love to come on the field with like 52 guys solid.
Yeah, it's of course. 53 max cap. So the day that we can actually get to that point, I was hoping it would be that way right now. It's like our group chat probably has about 70 guys in it, but I'll probably cut 40 before it actually starts, because a lot of those guys are I want to come out and I'm going to do this and that. And they talk a big game, you throw them in the group chat, and you never hear from them again. they mute the chat, and then, I think it's more or less. I call a lot of them Facebook ballers. They come out, they do one practice or do one game, they get a few pictures, make it their profile picture, and you never see them again.
Yeah, right.
Do it for the gram.
Well, a lot of people just trying to be nosy, like on social media, like, oh, I'm gonna see what's going on here.
Yeah, I see so many dudes share my posts from the team page as if they're players, and I've never heard of them. I've seen a couple of them where people are posted and they're like, oh yeah, time for a ring, we're gonna be
like, who the hell is this?
And then there's like comments beneath that where people are just like, oh yeah, so awesome you're doing that. I'm like, who is this guy? But
I mean, that's fine, I guess. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm glad we at least have the at least it makes us look like we're doing something good if people want to be a part of the team. But no, we do need to we do have the room for growth on that aspect, to where if we can get the legitimate 60 plus people to where I have to cut people, like that's a good problem to have, having too many people to where you can cut them. Of course. You get to actually develop like a competition for that. Nobody feels safe in their position because they realize, hey, I've got three other guys that want the same spot. Mm-hmm. And I really think once we get sponsorships where people don't have to pay to play, like that'll probably be like the tipping point. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that are ballers, but they just can't afford to play. Like, you know, that it might only be $150 for the team fee, but like not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if we were to be able to get sponsorships, get people to like put a little bit of money into it and invest in the brand, then we can get a lot more people out and start giving more people those chances and then become a better team for it. Anything would be better than what we've been coming from with a lack of roster. You know, right now, like what Carlos is saying, it's been great. We've had 25 people or so at all these OTAs, not even official practices yet. I'm sure we'll have more once we do go official. But we had, right about the time Carlos came around, we had 11 people, exactly. 12 people exactly show up for a scrimmage in Baltimore that we were supposed to have about 30 people at. And the 12 of us played Ironman football besides the one guy that was quarterback. And we made it happen. You know, it was a scrimmage type deal. I don't think there was any points scored. I don't think any team really quote unquote won, but you know, it's
rough. But we
I'm sure it was rough.
That thing, I'll say
that's rough with even kids that are I've been through that. Yeah. I think I had like 13 kids one time and the guy like I mean, they were wore out. Like, it was kind of like a jamboree thing. There were, like, two, maybe three. And I'm like, dude, I got to just stop. He's like, what? Really? And I'm like, we've been, like, all day. These kids are, like, done.
Yeah. It's a few games ago.
Yeah. I'm like, plus, it's not even a game. You know? So, yeah. And I imagine with older adults, too.
Yeah, man. When you're 30 years old doing that, it's
knees.
Exactly.
Knees.
Yeah. 30, probably almost 40-year-old guys, some of them.
Oh, yeah. No, I've played – we had that team that we did that 7-on-7 I was telling you about. They have a kicker that's 66 years old.
Wow.
And I kid you not, the dude had a boot on him. I was watching him because we didn't have special teams for the scrimmage, but he just wanted to show up, get some work in. And he was knocking down 45-yarders.
At 60-some years old? You say he was 66?
Yeah. If you look at the top on Facebook, pictures. It's like third or fourth profile picture. I sound kind of stalking saying this, but the dude's profile pictures are like of him kicking for a college team in like 72, I think is what the date was on it. The dude comes out there, he lines up with the ball straight on. He doesn't do the soccer style, like three steps back, two steps over. He just says, nah, straight on. He gives it this like vicious battle cry.
Or anything, just barefoot.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, it's that old style.
But I do think he had one of those older style kicking cleats on.
Straight on.
Yeah. But yeah.
When is y'all's season?
Oh, so our first official game is going to be on March 11th. We have like our first official practice January 28th.
Anybody interested?
Yeah. If you know anybody interested.
Seb, let's go.
First official practice is 128. Anybody on this chat included is allowed or welcome, invited, whatever word you want to use to come out and participate.
I haven't played football since Hanley won the undefeated state championship with the Partlows and Jerome and all of them.
That's when you quit, too.
I quit playing because I got tired of getting hit by Domino and Teddy Bates. Yeah. I'm like, I'm
like, good. I'm 140. Like, I'm not y'all's tackling dummy.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, the Coach Hill tried to get the ball to me over the middle a few times in practice, and I kept getting cracked. I'm like, man, it's fun. But it's going to be fun from the bleachers next year.
Right.
I'm going to stick with basketball, what I know a little better like than that.
Basically, I don't have that Tyreek Hill speed to get it. Right? Yeah, I'm no more of that.
It wouldn't have nothing to do with speed when you go over the middle and get crunched.
Speed helps, like Tyreek. Yeah, he's not taking those hits like that. You can get away from that.
Right. I do know that pain, though. I've, you know, being a slightly bigger guy, I've been thrown at tight end a couple of times. I'm a complete liability there. I can never play it, but I would always hate it. I felt like every single time it came my way, they led me right into a linebacker, whether it just be like a little like slant route or something. It was always like, as soon as the ball hits me, somebody is de-cleating me.
Exactly.
Planting me firmly into the soil.
That's why I never loved playing offense. I wanted to stay on defense.
That's all I can
offense, you can't see it coming. Defense, you can deliver the lick. You can see everything pretty, you know. You got to have a tougher mentality than me on offense.
Yeah, I mean, not to say I haven't gotten caught slacking on defense a couple of times, man.
I agree.
I mean, they at least called it crackback blocks, so that don't stop them from doing it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you can get it on both ends. But yeah, I mean, guys, I think it's great what you're doing. You know, like I say, when we talk, you know, sometimes a lot of people, high school, it's their last time ever putting them pads on, but you guys got this going, so it's a great opportunity for a lot of guys.
Yeah,
and, some people, freshman football is their last time.
Yeah, like you.
And I played in eighth grade. That's how you know. But fellas, unfortunately, I apologize. It's been a pleasure. I keep getting calls from all kinds of people in Winchester, man. All I can say is please keep my buddy Dink in your prayers, man. I'm going to figure out what's going on. All right, I'm getting calls left and right, and I got to go get his son. He's going to college out here.
All right.
All right. Let us know, man. All right,
fellas.
All right. Take care.
All right.
But, yeah, guys, so, you know, let everybody know, give out info, how people can get a hold of you guys and tryouts, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. We don't have a whole lot else besides that right now, but Northern Virginia Mustangs on Facebook. I'm pretty active on responding back to it. We've got weekly practices. It's kind of, even though we say we have a tryout, like, you can come out now and until we hit that 53-man cap on the roster, you know, it's a matter of just getting people to show up. So, you know, like, people can find me, Sean Simmons, on Facebook. Message me, Carlos Davenport. Anybody can point them in the right direction if they can find somebody wearing a Mustangs jersey. That's all they got to do. And
I'd also like to add, I mean, especially because, you know, some guys are, you know, didn't even play in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need experience or, you know, know what to do. We have a dedicated coaching staff at this point.
Mm.
You know, we have, you know, shout out to Marco Brown. We have Ben Crosby, Tim Etchell.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to count Curtis, but I'm going to give Curtis Cool a nice little shout out.
Yeah.
He's been just,
he's a leader
on what we're doing.
Yeah. He's not an official coach, but, you know, he's one of those guys that you got to respect him as a captain just because the dude drives 10 hours just to go pick up people from all over the state and bring them to the game.
Yeah. That guy in Pennsylvania, we had a game in
Richmond,
Montego, or yeah, Richmond, pretty much.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he drove to Pennsylvania, picked him up, drove all the way down and took him home. And he lives in, I think it's like Hedgesville, right next to.
Yeah, that's dedication for. Right.
It's not a super. I don't want to make it sound like semi-pro is not competitive. That would be completely false. But it's one of those deals. I think people are just like a lot more intimidated by it than they should be, or like they think it's a lot crazier than it is. I mean, yeah, like you're going to get those people you line up against that are just going to clean your clock. The guys that probably should have been in the NFL, but they had some trouble they ran into. But like most of the guys are guys that have full-time jobs and families mm-hmm. and have a whole life outside of football. These aren't guys that you're going against for training 24/7. So like you do have a chance to be a normal average Joe like me or Carlos here
mm-hmm.
and put in the amount of training available to somebody with the time that we have and still be a competitive player. Carlos is out there blocking dudes that were at least 50 pounds heavier than him. Mm-hmm. I'm out there.
I got humbled this season. There's a guy that was like 6'5", like 350.
Oh man. King Wop?
No, it was the guy bigger than him. We were game planning about this guy. I mean, because he just destroyed our offensive line that game. And so the next time we play him, they had an even bigger guy show.
Oh, my God.
Me and my brother was blocking him because I was at center. He was at guard. And, I mean, dude, he was just wearing him out. And I was like, you need to get your block, man. I was like, do you need me, like, cutting him or something? Like, what's going on? And he's like, you block him. So come punt time. And I blocked him. Man, he wore me out. I'll never talk to my brother like that.
Right. Jeez. Well, yeah, I bet. But I always say, you know, size doesn't mean everything.
That's true.
But, yeah, sometimes, yeah, guys like that, some guys are just unstoppable. Not much you can do. But, hey, I mean, kudos to you guys. You know, you're doing your thing. And, hey, if you guys need help, I'm definitely willing to help out.
There we go.
You know that. I'm always willing to do stuff. I never sleep. What does Eminem think I do? But I'm up 24/7 almost all the time. I take naps.
Well, Saturday is semi-pro day, so if you get free Saturdays, come on out. We could definitely use help.
Every Saturday is what you're saying? Every Saturday?
Yeah. We've tried to like make it be like 2-3 times a week thing, but it's just impossible to get 30 like guys
full time and stuff like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's tough on the guys.
Yeah, we've just basically got it to where it's Saturdays outside of the season is practice day, and then during the mm-hmm. season it's game day. Saturday is semi-pro day. Anybody that can get off on Saturdays can come play semi-pro football.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's at Jim Barnett Park where you guys are.
That's where we were this past season, but it should be the Warren County Health Department will be the new game field. As far as practicing, okay. We kind of just move around from field to field and not wear out our welcome anywhere. We just choose different public use fields in Winchester. We do communicate with everybody. We've got a group chat for it. So anybody that's on the team, if they've ever got questions for it, they got immediately put in a group chat. We'll say, hey, if we change location, it's here. We release all the details to everybody. They'll still ask you 100 times, no matter how many times you tell them.
What are we wearing?
We're local to Winchester for practices and stuff like that. And we're always, you know, if we do have to move, it's always a easy transition.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So Zeb, there you go. Get your muscle bound ass out there.
I'm too old, man.
Built like Lex Luger.
just talking about it makes
your body hurt. Yeah, that's right. You are getting up there. But yeah. So yeah,
I'm so old. Just talking about it is an injury.
Yeah, my knees are starting to hurt too. Right. No, last time I took a hard hit to the knees, going across the middle. That's
slants.
Yeah, so guys, that's good stuff. So yeah, we'll talk real quick. Couple topics, real quick. Coach Jones here recently stepped down. Hanley head coaching job from Hanley. So we'll talk locally about that. So my thoughts, I'll start is I'm actually quite excited he's gone. I'll just tell the truth. You know, I feel inside scoops because I talk to a lot of kids and parents, and actually they were quite excited that man is gone. Yeah. I mean, I just call it how it is. So I'll basically leave it at that. And I'm curious to see who's going to get the job. I've said I think L.A. Anderson's a great choice.
Yeah,
that would to step up and take the job because we were talking about this earlier, and he's a fresh, young, new mind. You know, he's my first choice, and then I'd jump right on the staff. So,
I was trying to tell you, Tony, you should get up with him because he already works for Hanley. So if he's already in there, it's like he already has a foot in the door. But him would be a great team. He's been
there, going on 3 years as the JV assistant, defensive coordinator for JV right now, which I don't know why he's defensive. He should be offensive, Carlos, if you want to chime in, because you've actually been a part of the Hanley, 1 year was there.
I worked with Dan, and, you know, he's put some players in positions, you know, where they've, like, I think it was Malachi who really benefited from that.
Well, quarterback, I felt he should have been a running back. Look where he's succeeding now, running back. He's still at William and Mary he's at?
I want to say William and Mary. I don't want to go on the record for it, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're going to run a kid every play, why have him at quarterback? Put him at running back. Yeah, so
he'd be option every play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it's the spread of it. And he's right to him, and then he's just running the ball because he couldn't throw. So, you know, no knock on Ema, but he probably knew he couldn't throw the ball. You know, so put the kid at running back.
And you know, but I think at the same time, I think Hanley has to do right by the kids up there. You know, there's a tremendous amount of talent in the town. I mean, it's ungodly how much talent that just runs away from here without being noticed. You know what I'm saying? And I think if they get someone fresh like LA, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, it's going to excite the kids where, you know, you do have that hope to play at the next level. And mm-hmm. and I'm willing to bet on that guy.
Yeah. Sure. And I was actually talking to a mom at, you know, the Jameswin Hanley basketball game. And, you know, she was basically telling me the same thing, like, you know, I'm saying, you know, somebody fresh has got to get in there and, you know, even asking me to get on the staff. But, you know, you have to get somebody in there who's going to be for the kids and, like, looking out for their future. And, you know, I told her that one coach, you know, I won't name no names, but was like, well, that's not my job. I'm like, well, what the hell is that? Like, any great high school coach would look out for those kids and have connections with a lot of, you know, colleges and everything. And I don't know if they just, to me, don't put in the effort, you know, for that, for those kids. And like you say, there's so much talent. There's a lot of them kids on that team. I coached in Little League. Like, and I know the talent of those kids. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, God, this kid should be quarterback. I'm like, this kid should be at wide receiver. You should be doing this and that, you know, but it's just, yeah. I just sit there, I'm like, man, there's just too much. And it's always been like that in the city.
Yeah.
You know, and man, it's crazy. And see, and LA knows that. He knows that.
And his schedule yeah. with the AAU, I mean, or mm-hmm. what he used to do with that, I mean, I can only imagine how much running around he had to do with that. And, you know, I know when we went for my senior year of high school, the amount of work that we put in, I mean, we were lifted 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And then on Fridays, we'd come in at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. and lift in the school. I mean, it was a madhouse.
Yeah.
What we were doing, because we were determined to be state champions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that level of dedication, especially by our coaches, you know, it was Todd Hill at the time. But that level of dedication is going to be required to really let these kids shine, you know, and I don't think you're going to be able to do it if you've been coaching for 10, 15 years
mm.
at the same place with the same people who are going to kind of let you, you know, scoot away with without the effort.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. It's like, to me, the off season, like, what are we doing? Because I have boys that go there and a lot of kids. And I'm like, well, when are we starting, like, working? What's going on? Dad, I don't know.
Two weeks after the football season. I'm just saying that's when we started.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, there's – and in a feeder program, all that, like, working with Daniel Morgan.
Yeah.
Like, get these kids ready. Yeah, like, get these kids ready, and then they hit high school, you know, running. Like, they're good to go. Like, I praise Zach Harrell, you know – you know, the basketball program, look at them.
Yeah.
You know why they're so good? Because those kids put in year round. He's involved with the Rising Stars. They play together AAU year round.
Yeah.
And look at them. They compete for state championships. Why do we not do that with the football program?
Exactly.
Get involved. Literally, you know, if you're a head coach, get involved in the community. Like, hey, keep them together, do this and that, give them a play, something, run a few of the formations, plays you run. But no, it's like this divide or there's no dedication. And my boys, like I say, well, when are you going to start 7-on-7s, this and that? Well, Sharando does it. Millbrook does it. I go talk to these coaches there. I mean, dude, they're starting in like, what, June at least or earlier than that in the weight room. And I mean, dude, all day. Like, I talk to parents, you know, I have a cousin that goes, she's like, dude, they'll be there at 10 a.m. all day till like 6, just doing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Getting the playbook in. You know, you're, I mean, because I don't think you can hit. I don't think they let you get any pads or anything.
Oh, yeah. So,
but you can install a playbook.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Or actually, I think Virginia has a rule on that. You only get a couple of days throughout the year to work on the playbook with the kid,
mm-hmm.
but still you have time to do something.
Oh, you know? Yeah, there's, you know, so there's ways around it. But yeah, it's like, don't give me this stuff, they'll tell me, oh well, we can't do it. There's ways around it. Yeah, you know, there's always ways around stuff, like
absolutely, man. And
yeah, oh, I just take them out here to the field, that's it. Oh, I'm just throwing the ball out here with them.
Listen, our team captain knew the whole playbook. and we were on the field practicing the playbook.
Yeah,
there was that's but we were out there practicing the playbook.
Well, right. What's crazy to me is that like at the youth level, like the semi-pro level, they do have the opportunity to play year round. Like there's spring leagues for kids and there's spring leagues for adults, but there doesn't seem to be that for like the high school age kids. So like when they get older and they get to that level, then all of a sudden there's like a restriction on how much they can train. So it's odd to me that they don't get that opportunity to play year round.
Well, no, there is.
Is there?
Yes, okay. I know. I know everything.
Tony,
that's why we can talk. They're for high schoolers. They can play spring. There's travel leagues and stuff like that all over the place.
Okay, yeah, I honestly I hadn't heard of any in this area.
Yeah, but I do think
it's not in it. Trust me. Don't worry, I won't let the. I ain't saying it on the show because there's people listening, trust me.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, there's stuff you can do a lot for these. And nobody, and I'll go to ADs and say, and they just don't want to, we're good. Well, bring Hanley back to the way that when 94, when Partlow, Trey Kern, all of them were there. Them guys were bred and raised from when they were six, and that's when they took it seriously. But I think it's just because Partlow's dad was involved. They wanted them, but then, the great Ron Linden was there, and they took it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, they say this Hanley pride. But after that, I don't know. I mean, Hill and them, I guess they did take it. You know, Rayburn was in there, but, weight room and all that. But two times a week. But it's like I say, it fell off after that. You know, I think it's just like, oh, we'll be good. You know, we got the talent. Well, it's got to work. The talent has to work hard to, put in the work.
Yeah. And you have to have that look because let's just, coaches aren't going to get paid like that. Somebody did like an analysis of what you get paid versus how many hours you put in, you're probably making like 50 cents an hour. Just how much time you're putting in on the playbook, how much time you're putting in the weight room. But that's why it takes some younger cats who are going to be like, hey, state, we're winning the state. They have to say it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to win the state championship. Mm-hmm. You get out of this region, you know what I'm saying? Get past what Millbrook and Sharando. I don't know how the districts are broken down, but, there's a lot of work to be done. And man, L.A.,
yeah, and I mean, it's just like you say, and I've also talked to other people, too, because they know how I am and Chris, that it's like, we care. We want them to win. And don't sit there and say it's not all about winning. Yeah, it is. I hate when people are like, it's not all about, yes, it is. And the parents want to win, the kids want to win, you know what I mean? And then I tell them, you got to play tougher competition. Stop playing these cupcake schedules, because look who you played this year, Gainesville, Spotswood, and honestly, their record was deceiving. They start out 5-0, and then they go play Millbrook, get the brakes beat off of them, because Millbrook played Loudoun Valley.
Yeah.
Who was that? Jefferson, tougher schools. So they were like 2-3, 2-4, whatever, and then they play it. But the thing is, you got to play tougher competition. Then you're ready when you go to the playoffs and you've seen that tougher competition, right? And I even talked to a kid from Sharando I coached. Saw him at B-Dubs when they beat Hanley, because my wife and them were in there. And he told me the exact same thing. Exact same thing. He said, coach. Still calls me coach, which is a great feeling, right? He said, why doesn't Hanley play the Martinsburgs and stuff like we do so you're ready when you play? And I said, I don't know. I've mentioned, they won't do it.
And doesn't that kind of circle back to like the mentality of Winchester? I mean, the kids are there, right? You have the talent, embrace that it's going to suck. You know what I'm saying? You're going to play kids that teams are just going to whoop you. Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking figuratively there, but you can only take so many whoopings before you start figuring out, all right, well, hey, maybe we don't go spread, maybe we just start trying to attack you by running the ball,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take it from there.
The coach is going to learn. Right. You're going to learn yourself.
And we did that our last season. We tried our last game of the season. You know, I put it in our chat. I was like, listen, we've tried to throw a bunch of things at these guys. The very first four plays, we're going to run it up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that.
Yeah.
Ended up scoring on that drive.
Yeah.
Or no, we didn't.
No, we didn't score that drive, but we had like a good like 40-yard drive before we had to punt.
Yeah. It was off a penalty. The refs don't get it.
Mm-hmm. And that's me when I coached in travel, played. This was our, I already knew this team because the first year we put PME, played one national championship with these kids. And it was 11U. Yeah, 11U. And we lost 36-6. But I mean, these kids, dogs. You know, and I think I only had 13 kids at the time on the team. So we had to, but only team to score on them all year.
Really?
Because of course they had a lot of speed, but how do you beat speed?
Beat them up.
Run up the middle.
Yeah. Beat
up. That's how we went up. And they couldn't believe we scored on them. But the thing is, play tough competition. And getting back to that, all them kids and a few of them start on varsity, a few freshman linemen. And Mano, who starts at court, moved up when he was a sophomore. So how often do you hear that?
Yeah.
One started at receiver, was a freshman. Because they know tough, they don't duck wreck. They have seen tough in Richmond, you know, Southern Virginia, all that. They've played dogs, and when they get to Hanley, they ain't ducking no wreck. Yeah, well, they're coming in there smacking, you know, cracking heads, and but they don't know that. Who's the one that had him in travel? Me. And a few, you know. So that's the thing. Play the these kids are not. They played a lot of them kids at Martinsburg and already in travel. And you know Jeff Overton Jr., who's killing it at Freedom, that running back.
Yeah.
He played. They played against him.
See, that's good.
They played against that kid. I mean, he ran all over him because he's a freaking stud. But they've seen him. Yeah. So these Hanley, they got to realize, and that's the whole point of this playing youth as a travel. Play and travel. Mm-hmm. Hanley will be at that. That's why Martinsburg is the way they are, because all them kids play travel football. Yeah.
Do they have the middle school league, or is it just the travel league up there?
Travel. There's travel you can get these kids involved in. So that's the thing. Play tough competition. You know, start them at the youth level. Breed these kids basically like basketball, because what's the Rise of Stars, Winxie, all of them, they take them to big tournaments, and it doesn't matter. My son, Christian, in here, prime example, that whole team was nothing but that Daniel Morgan team I had, like eighth grade, team, just beating the brakes off of everybody, right? But they kept them together in Rise of Stars. They went to these tournaments in Virginia Beach, all that. They lost by 50. And every and what, but you know what their mentality was when they came back? They said, "We just got to get better."
Yeah,
and that's the thing, that they don't get down on themselves. They're just like, their mentality is this, they hit the gym, go in, and they're like, "We got to get better." But what are they going to do to team here in this area? I get the Millbrooks, you know, Loud. They're going to beat the shit out of them.
And
but they've already seen that tough down in that air 703 and all that. And the thing is, they'll beat them sometimes. And like, they will. They'll get better and take it to them. They're not scared. And it's the same thing with football. Hey, they might be intimidated at first because it's their first time, but they're going to get it and realize, like, hey, we can hang with these guys. You know, they're just going to get better and better. So that's my whole thing on that. I'm done. I mean, I give this spiel all the time, and I'm just, you know, I try to just beat it and beat it into their head, but I don't know what it is, you know, with him, like they just want to look good. Like, well, my record was 9-2, but then you're going in the first round, you just get the brakes beat up because they're not ready, you know, because it's a different brand of football.
And I like what you said, because I mean, you do have to increase the resiliency, just the resiliency of the kids. Because I've seen some kids, I mean, you know, the first time they get challenged, they break, you know what I'm saying?
And it,
that's the game of life, though, at that point.
And they're not challenged during the season. Yeah. Yep.
There's sometimes you're gonna get benched. You know, that's mm-hmm. a part of life too.
Yeah. I mean? Yeah.
They gotta be ready to handle that.
You're right. So that's what I got on that. I'm done.
So, guys, hey, I enjoyed it having you guys on. Appreciate it. Yeah. So appreciate it, guys. And hey, that's it for us today. You know, everybody, you know where to find Brothers with Opinions. You know, we're on Facebook, have our website out. And that reminds me, guys, if you have like any info, we have a website now, brotherswithopinions.com. We'll put it up for you.
Awesome.
Any events. We got an event tab and stuff like that. We'll put it up for you guys. So yeah, just put that out there for y'all.
Yeah, that would be great. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, everybody, thanks listening, and we'll get everybody, hit you back up next week, get a show up. Hopefully, sometimes we get lazy, take a vacation. that's life. You know, we had to postpone this show, but life happens. So, all right, everybody, have a good one and have a blessed day.
With opinions, big voice, no silence, revolution televised, ain't no good in private. Not knowledge to the ignorant, ain't never been bliss. Stand up and be heard, we the new activists. Yeah, brothers with opinion, let the convo begin. You know communication key, but then you must comprehend. Preach, BWO, let your voices be heard. We enlightened by the truth and now we spreading the word.
Let's go.
How do we learn to live when we conditioned to die? Most people fail before they start because they don't ever try. Man, they told us we was worthless. We believed in the lie. We took it way too literal when Big said ready to die. You know the KKK turned the cops in disguise. Man, a lot done changed, but race still applies. 5-0, hands up, don't even ask why. Trayvon, Mike Brown, man, another mother's cry. Hey, be